Welcome to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo Podcast. You got two hosts. One of them is named Hunter.
It's such a distinctive. Yeah, it's like, but, and then we also have the most beautiful, hunky, and emotionally advanced man, Roper. See how much nicer mine was?
Emotionally advanced.
Yeah, I think you're emotionally advanced.
What do you mean?
Like, you just, like, know how to, like, work emotions.
Like, I know how to make you feel certain emotions, or I...
All the above, whatever you say. Know. It's like anything regarding emotions, I'm like, Roper's there. Roper gets it.
I do. Except for my own.
Well, you know, everyone has an Achilles heel of a sort. Anyway, should we... So this awkward opening.
Yeah, I don't
opening.
Know where this is going.
I feel like this is what this episode's going to be, so yeah. Let's dig in. We got an album review.
Yeah.
We're so excited. This was kind of cool for me because I have not listened to a ton of In Her Own Words, but I have listened to the little snickets of what Roper had sent me. I want to say like snidbits, but I don't think that's right either.
Snippets. When you say snickets, it makes me think of series of unfortunate events.
Oh, Lemony Snickets? Is
Lemony
that right?
Snickets.
Lemony Snickets. However, we are going to be talking about their newest release that dropped this year.
Yeah.
And it's called Distance or Decay.
Or Decay.
I feel like this one's going to be a lot more focused on Roper because as much as I got stuff to say, I feel like Roper's definitely spent more time with this record.
Yeah.
So, and that's okay, but I want to talk about something. The last episode, I have been speaking the front bottoms, or I've been just raising them up for like literally 2 years.
Just singing their praises.
That's probably what I want to say. And Roper has like finally seen the light, apparently.
I finally gave him a chance.
And how was it?
It was good. I found plenty of songs that I like.
Yeah.
But one thing that kind of threw me off is like their newer albums.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear some similarities. There we go.
There it is.
Between them and the Killers of all bands.
And the Killers.
Yeah.
Interesting. Just because of the production?
Certain production and guitar parts.
I haven't like, listened to a ton
like,
of the Killers.
Ooh, this could be, well, like more so like newer Killers songs too.
I don't think I've listened to much of their new stuff at all.
Their newer stuff is fucking phenomenal.
Mr. Brightside's enough for me, and I'm fine with that. I do think that is one of the best written songs of all time.
Yeah, but you also should try out the new stuff because it's really fucking good.
Maybe I will, if you're going to compare it to the front bottoms.
If I tried the front bottoms, then you can at least try like...
I tried The Rocker that we referenced that.
What movie?
That's an hour and 30 minutes of my time.
What were you going to do with that time anyways?
Watch a movie.
Exactly.
And I decided to take your recommendation.
Decently good movie for once.
But anyway, what is your favorite album and what's your favorite song by the Front Bottoms?
Right now it is Going Gray or The
Going
Gray.
Going Gray, really? I think that's like, I don't think anyone loves that record.
Oh, well.
There's a few good songs on there.
I found some
good
songs on there.
Vacation's really good.
I like Ocean.
Ocean. I don't even know that one on top of
my head. That's the last track on that album.
Okay.
And then Back on Top was pretty good too.
Told you. Did you get the Plastic Flowers?
I haven't decided if it's their best album yet. I'm still working through their discography.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that 2YL is probably my favorite song on there right now.
Okay.
It's mm-hmm. nice and catchy.
That is a very catchy song. That whole record's so catchy to me.
I need to spend a little more time with it, but I texted you yesterday. I was like, I think I get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then like Roper had put one of the songs on his Snapchat, and I just said, "You little hoe," which I thought was hysterical.
I enjoy it. And then I started thinking to myself, like, if I can make my own front bottoms lyrics.
I don't think anyone can make
just
their own front
bottoms
lyrics.
Just starting putting random words together.
I think they just released a song today, and I haven't had a chance to listen
they
to it.
They did, or last week.
No. I saw a lot of people posting on it on the Front Bottoms Facebook page.
But they got a new song on Spotify, so I saw that.
Ooh, boy. Yeah. I'll check that one out. So anyway, that was our little introduction on Roper's The Front Bottoms and Me The Rocker, which is Rain.
It's our new segment called Trying New Things.
Trying New Things. Yep. But I only try movies and Roper only tries music, I suggest.
Yeah.
Because I already have to listen to a bunch of music I'm not familiar with. Thank God, though. It's a good thing.
I was going
to
say, We have a podcast about music,
mm-hmm.
and if you're gonna be like,
don't you dare do it!
I don't want to listen to this music. I was gonna be like, well, then you're failing at your job.
I've done it. All right, should we just jump into this record?
Yeah, they're probably sick of us talking about other things.
Roper, like always. And by always, I mean the last episode.
Like the last one.
I got some album stats for you. I figured we would just introduce the band.
Okay.
This is what I found on the interwebs. Blending a hardcore-leaning rhythm section and emo pop trebles, in her own words, is an emo/pop-punk revival band from Los Angeles. The City of Angels.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Band members we're going to talk about. Joey Fleming's vocals. He's probably one most people would know of.
Yep.
Then we have Ian Berg on guitar. Oh, Jesus.
Andretti Amali.
There we go. Also guitar.
Emily.
Eric Ruelas, bass, and Omar Sultani on the drums.
We probably just butchered all of them.
That's fine. I got Joey Fleming. I know that one enough. Former members. They had... What? I know. You see the one? There's a... Oh, fuck. Laxon... Some, oh, Waganda. That's what I'm just gonna go for. Aganda. Yeah, Weganda. Listen, it's a Hawaiian.
Your guess is as good as mine.
It looks very Hawaiian to me. He was a previous guitarist, and we also had Bryce Beckley, which I searched everywhere for and could not find what instrument he played.
He might have just been in the beginning of the band.
I'm assuming so, yeah, because I literally could not find a single thing on him.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's jump into that discography, Roper.
Okay.
You know this better than I do. You got the brand new Me EP, dropped in 2011. Everything I Used to Trust, LP, dropped in 2013, which that's got their biggest... That was like where they got their... Their biggest stride, right?
That was kind of their beginning, like starting to gain traction.
Yeah, because I recognized a few songs off that record.
Yeah.
Bad Weather EP, which dropped in 2015.
That's an acoustic.
Oh, that's acoustic?
Yep.
Unfamiliar LP, which dropped in 2016.
Yeah. This one's the one where they started really catching fire. And then they ended up making like a bonus edition, or what are those called? Extended?
Oh, like a deluxe?
Deluxe. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Steady Glow LP, which dropped in 2019. I think that's where I got my real introduction.
This is, yeah, that one, Steady Glow is probably their creme de la creme of records right now.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, this record, Distance or Decay, which dropped in 2022. And Distance and Decay is technically their fourth studio LP. That dropped in May 27th of 2022, so that was only 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Probably closer. No, 3 months ago.
Yeah, 3 months.
The reception on the record, as far as I've seen, mainly positive. I've seen a few, like, it's kind of hard to find because it's not a super popular record. I saw a few people that are like, this is the worst. And I was like, you just hate on everything. Yeah. Get out of here.
Fucking trolls.
And then, believe it or not, interviews were very sparse on this record. So hopefully we'll still give you a little bit of tidbit. I know Roper put some stuff here and there, so...
Yeah, about two of them.
Dope. Okay, Roper, should we jump into the first track?
Yeah, let's dive right in.
That would be Circles. But now we run around in circles, and we get so close, are we too scared to just let go? It's hard to tell you where we're going, all the rest is falling, still you can't stop calling, why can't you let me in? Roper, I'm gonna let you start everything off, and then I'm just gonna follow up.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna say, at the beginning of this song, it's got like a nice little lead-in
mm-hmm.
to the track. I think it's a really great way to start this album off. the vocals are catchy as fuck. The chorus is catchy too. The first time I heard this song, I could not get it out of my head. Like I said, the intro gets me pumped up and ready for a great ride every time. It's got Derek DeCiano from State Champs, and he's got like a nice little vocal feature. It's not the Derek of old. I know you guys are probably tired of me being like, oh, where's my Derek from 2015? But you know what? People get older.
Mm-hmm, they do.
Yeah, this song rules. It's probably, I don't think it's my favorite song, but it's my second favorite song on this album.
Second? Cool.
Yeah. Instrumentally, the song rules too. I think across the board on this whole album, the instrumentals are just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get that out of the way because a lot of these songs, I'll probably highlight Joey's vocals over anything just because I'm a vocal guy.
They were also very focused on the vocals and mixing and production because there was a lot of love and care put into those.
Oh yeah.
And not saying he's a phenomenal singer as is. So, yeah. But I think for the most part, like I would say that's why most people come to this band. I don't know. I could be wrong on that.
I remember the first time I heard this band and I was like, okay, this is the next story so far.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think they sound like Story So Far at all.
Well, at the time,
or at least this record doesn't.
At the time, I thought they did.
Yeah. So okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I have my own opinion too.
I won't take away your truth. You wouldn't. I was gonna say that. I really was.
Okay. I give this song a 9.
Solid 9.
Yep.
So I think the drums in the song were great tension builders. They were so good. I think every instrument on this record, other than like one song I can think of, like sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
The transition between the verse and the chorus is incredibly well done. I like that. So this is going to be controversial, but it's great to hear Derek, but I thought it was like way too short lived and he didn't really add much to the track.
Yeah.
I think I would have almost preferred if he wasn't on it to begin with. And I think a lot of it's because I wasn't a fan of like the repeat lines in the final chorus.
Yeah, but he does that in his own music too.
Yeah, but like to me it sounded off because you hear Fleming and then you hear Derek and then like they don't sound similar enough. Like they don't have their own very distinctive voices, or maybe I'm just used to hearing them so much that like, you know, that's what it is. But other than that, like this was a fantastic opener. I also gave it a 9 out of 10.
I was listening to this when I was at work just to go through the album, and it almost sounded like Derek was just like singing through a phone.
Yeah, I think that maybe what had happened is he recorded at a different studio somewhere.
Yeah.
They sent like probably the stems of the tracks over, or the stem of the track, and then they probably used a different microphone that like either the mixer wasn't familiar with or it just wasn't a great microphone to begin with. I have a hard time believing that though. I feel like
I don't know. It just felt to me like he was singing over an actual telephone, even though I know that.
Oh, you mean like an effect or something? Yeah. I don't know if that's the
case. That wasn't it, but it was. That's how I felt.
Either way, solid opener. Yeah,
great song.
Great song. Great song. Track number 2, Leaving Forever.
This song is still pretty meh to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first single that was released. And this was the first song that I heard from them since they put out Steady Glow. So I already had that in my brain for the longest time. And I'm like, this one's kind of just whatever. but it is a callback to their heavier roots. If you listen to anything off of Unfamiliar or Everything I Used to Trust, you're going to notice that. Instrumentally, it's a lot different than Steady Glow, which is nice for me. Or after listening to them for a long time, it's pretty cool to see them kind of go back to those roots instead of the poppy sound of Steady Glow. I might have had too high of expectations for this band at the time. But it's about a 6-ish for me.
So like when you, cause I kind of remember us talking about this off mic a while ago when like they were releasing these singles, and like to you, I'm assuming you were maybe comparing it to Steady Glow.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I've kind of noticed a pattern with this band. When it comes to their writing, they are really all about the hooks.
Oh, 100%.
And so sometimes like this one isn't really hooky, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Or it sounds kind of awkward in my brain.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear it.
But I have a little bit of an opposite opinion on this one. I really like this. Like, I really like the opening to it.
Yeah.
The verses, I think Joey Fleming has a great flow. So while I was writing this, I was listening to, like, track by track. So to me, like, I think that the flow, and pretty much, I mean, I don't think there's, like, anything that's, like, out of or feels weird to listen to when he sings. Like, sometimes you hear that in songs. Sometimes they do it on purpose to, like, match the emotion or whatnot. But, like, Joey's, like, voice is, like, it's just like, dun, 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 dun. I don't know. I can't imitate it because I'm not as good as him. But I really dug the chorus and the drum fills within the chorus. That was really cool. The guitars really had some spotlights in certain sections that I really enjoyed. I think they can make simplicity sound really good.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I, because I think when you hear like a guitar part that's like soloed essentially, they're like trying to do something really intricate and like they were just like, nah, just fucking, you know, downstroke a little bit.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, okay. So I said, I gave it a little 8 out of 10. I said, it's a solid song.
Hey, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, we're going to disagree about something later on. It's fine.
Oh, all right.
Like big time.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Did you look at my notes?
Well, I had to. They were literally right in front of my face.
I kind of want to scroll down and see what it is, but I might just wait.
Nah, you don't need to do that.
Okay.
Track number 3, baby. Lights Out.
Strong bass line right away.
Mm-hmm.
If you can hear it.
A little stab, okay.
Well, because primarily when the first couple times I listened to this album, it wasn't with headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
So today, luckily at work, I had enough time to myself that I could actually listen to it with headphones, and that's where I get to pick out all the different music parts and stuff that I like.
Yeah, it helps you focus on everything that's actually happening.
Yeah, because you're blocking out everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Bridge to the second chorus I wrote down was very dope. I think he just flows so well in this song.
Actually, you said super dope.
Super dope, my
bad. It's a step above.
Yeah. Mega ultra dope?
Is it that dope?
No, it's not that dope.
Oh, okay.
Scale of 1 to dope, it's about a super dope.
About a super dope, okay. Just making sure. Definitely high up there, though.
I was gonna say, the song is catchy yet aggressive, too, which is great. I like both. And it gets you bouncing.
It does get you bouncing.
Yeah, I give it about a 7.
About a 7. Okay, yeah. Okay. So I feel like this song doesn't stand out much from the first two, but I can't say I didn't enjoy this one. So I don't have a ton to say, but I feel like the vocals really carried this one. If I had to like focus on any specific part of the song, and like same here, like I'm just gonna go with a 7. You're gonna see that that's quite a pattern with me on this record.
Same here. A lot like. Well, I'll get into it in my final thoughts of this whole thing.
Yeah, that's why I put that down, because I had like some final thoughts I think would like wrap things up pretty well. But we can just go to the next track, Roper, and that's Daydream.
This is the bop.
You like this one?
I like this one. This kind of reminds me of Disaster Case off of Steady Glow. I'm going to compare this album to that album.
I know that's your like creme de la creme.
But it kind of brought me back to that album. I don't like the backup vocals on this.
Mm.
I don't feel like this should be a band that tracks backup vocals just because it's not fair.
Why? Because they're...
Joey's vocals are so good.
They are. They're very, very good.
Yeah, this has got another great chorus, and I give it another 7.
Another 7? Okay. Yeah. I really like the pre-chorus to this one.
Ooh.
I think that's
I still feel you in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that part too.
But the catchy chorus is always there, you know. Yeah. I think that's what's so hard because this band's really good about writing catchy choruses. I heard a quote once, or not a quote, but it was like this guy that had taken his he like wrote enough for an album. And then and then the producer's like, you have 10 beautiful songs on here and it's bad. And he was like, why? Like, how does that make any sense? He's like, well, because if you don't have ugly songs on here or songs that like have its their own identity, then the beautiful ones aren't really going to stand out as much. And I think that this album is a really good indication of that. Ooh. Like, all these songs, for the most part, sound very, very similar to me. And, like, they're all good songs, but, like, I don't think there's enough breaking it up or enough standing out, which I kind of just dived into, like, my overall thoughts, but I just feel like it would, I feel like it was necessary there. But, you know, here again, like, nothing crazy stands out to me on this one, unfortunately, you know, but it's still good, so, like, I had to go to 7, you know?
You know what? These are almost, like, really good playlist songs.
Yeah, you know? Like to...
You just put them with a bunch of different bands.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, this song is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I have a hard time distinguishing, like, what my absolute favorite song off this record would be. Probably the first one.
Yeah.
I think if Derek's vocals weren't on it, I'd probably go to 10. But, you know, that's just me.
We haven't talked about my favorite song on this yet.
Yeah.
I did find an interesting fact from the band about this song.
Please share.
Mr. Fleming of the Joseph Variety said, "Daydream is a song about a person from my past feeling like a ghost in the present and owning up to the mistakes I've made to let that happen."
Where'd you find that?
I found it in some random interview.
Oh, so there was interviews.
There was, but like not a lot about the songs in particular. So like, the next fun fact I have is about another song.
Yeah.
And it's not even like really that fun.
It's not even fun. I hate it. I'm not enjoying myself.
But yeah, I do want to say too that there's a part in this song. I think it might be the bridge of the song before he says, "I still feel you in the air" for the last time. That like the flow of that always kind of just like punches me in the kidney, dude. It's so
specifically
good.
The kidney?
Yeah. Then I pee blood for a little bit.
Ew.
That's what happens when you get punched in the kidney. Did you not know that?
I didn't know that. I thought it was a metaphorical thing. But if you're listening to this record and then pissing blood.
Yeah.
I think you are, I think you could file a lawsuit.
Yeah, it just depends. Like, yeah, somebody's punching me in the kidney. And I just got to figure out who it is.
Mm-hmm, it's Joey.
Old Joseph.
Message
us back.
Come on, Joey. Track number 5, "I Still Feel You in the Air."
Nice little interlude to an epic track. I put that down yesterday and then I like kind of listened to the instrumentals more today of this. It's not super long song, like I said.
No, it's short.
But the instruments in this song really fucking shine, obviously, just because the lyric content aren't, or like, he doesn't really sing on this.
It's because it sounds different.
Yeah.
And that's why I said this. I said, I love when bands, all right, that's, I'm going to jump into it later, but I love when bands can perfectly transition to a new track on the record. Like, that was really cool for me. This was clearly a continuation of the previous track, but I really enjoyed the simplicity in the beginning. But, like, it, like, was almost a break for your ears, right?
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning, and it kind of, like, rises back up, and that was something that I was like, I just wish it would have, like, maintained that and maybe even fell a little bit more. Just to kind of, cause like there's so much happening.
Yeah.
You listen to this record, like by the time I listened to this record a few times through, like my ears were kind of like, bro, can we like cool it?
I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. So I gave it a 7. I don't know what you gave it.
I didn't really give it anything since it's kind of an interlude, but I'll give it a solid 7 as well.
Solid 7 as well.
Solid 7.
Solid 7. You know
what?
There's going to be a lot of 7s.
Yeah.
That might come back later, but... no, track number 6, "One Thing You Should Know."
My favorite track on this album.
Yeah.
Dude,
go ahead.
This song, everything just clicks in this song vocally, instrumentally. I think this was the song that they should have. I'm glad they didn't make this a single, because if they would have made this a single and I would have listened to the rest of the album, I would have been like, well, fuck.
You'd be disappointed.
Yeah, I would have been like, man, I got so excited for.
I feel like a lot of albums do that, to where like they release their best songs, you listen to the rest of the record, and you're like, none of these live up to the singles.
I don't think Chief State did that.
No, I think.
Well, they put out Team Wiped, and that song's fucking epic.
I know, you love that song.
Then the rest of the album, it was nice to come back to that album or listen to that album and still hear absolute banger songs off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got them on the brain recently.
I know. I wonder why.
Dun, 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 check out next week. But finish this episode first.
Please. Yeah, don't stop this. Come on.
First time I heard this chorus of the song, gave me a little bit of the goosebumps.
Don't you love that?
I do.
It gives you that, yeah.
After I just said, I'm glad they didn't make this a single, my dumb ass yesterday put, I would have made this a single. Shut up, past me. You don't know what you're talking about.
Get over yourself, past Roper.
I love the message behind this song, because a lot of pop punk songs, they're always like, I'm leaving my hometown. Like, and I hate this town. But this one's like, obviously there's somebody in his life that is gone and they obviously miss him, but he's just like, just come back home.
Yeah. What if they're dead, though?
I mean, you could still bring a dead person home. It's just not advised.
Very not advised. I did see a documentary once where a guy stuffed his wife, and...
You know what? I'm going to say that I've often had that thought in my brain.
What?
Of, like, you know, you miss a family member so much, why don't you just take him to a taxidermy, you know?
I see, like, people, like, stuff their dogs, and I'm like, yeah, no.
I don't think I could... I couldn't, like, just the aspect, like, have you ever been to you probably haven't been in to any wax museum.
I don't think I have.
Oh, dude. Mm-mm. It's kind of fucking surreal.
It's a little, like, wonky.
I went into the one in Vegas, and I got a little dizzy because they're, like, life-size people, but they're not moving, but they're so realistic that it just fucking threw me off.
Really? They all look fake in pictures.
Yeah, but if you go in there in person, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's almost trippy. And it doesn't help that I watched that movie House of Wax before.
Isn't that like a really old movie?
There's multiple different versions of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That good, huh?
No. The Vincent Price one, yes.
Okay.
The Paris Hilton one, not so much.
Well, Paris Hilton shouldn't be involved in anything.
No.
Should have got rid of her a while ago. Yeah, although she did have a reality TV show that was really funny.
Which one?
I don't remember. It was like an MTV thing, I think.
Was it the one with her and Nicole Richie in it?
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, The Simple Life.
Such a great show. I watched it with an ex, and I was like, wow, this is TV.
I give that song a 9.
Okay. So I said the verse was like a much needed change.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That was good. I like how the first chorus is a calm, somber moment rather than like continuing the momentum of the verses. Like, that was really cool. The bridge guitar sounded awesome. I was a big fan of that. I really like how the vocals like really grew in the bridge and went to like an epic guitar solo lead in the final chorus. Like, I'm a sucker for guitar solos, especially when they're done well. And I think this was really, really done well. The ending vocals were incredibly well done. So this is an easy 9 out of 10 for me. I'd actually probably argue that this was also my favorite song of the record.
It's the most standout track on this.
Yeah, I think they did. Like, I think that there was some actual experimentation on this song.
Yeah.
And I liked that. But yeah, that's all I really had to say about it. It was a good time.
We got another interesting fact from the band on this one. I don't know how interesting it is, but the band's favorite lyrics come from this song. Sometimes you bend until you break, and then it's all over. 2 p.m., you're not sober. Bottle up the message until you learn the lesson.
Man, 2 p.m. drinking is...
terrible.
Terribly fun.
Nothing good happens after midnight. That's why I leave at 11.
Yeah, but this is at 2 p.m.
Yeah, I'm asleep by then.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
2 p.m.?
Oh.
Are you dummy?
Yeah, I'm asleep
by 2 p.m.
I'm hammered by 10 a.m. asleep by 2 p.m.
I mean, I've definitely taken my fair share of naps.
You know, what is time anyways?
I don't know.
It's irrelevant.
You know what time it is, though? Time for Miracle.
Slower bop.
Slower bop.
I'd always kind of like skip over this one in the first couple listens of this album.
Mm-hmm.
But I came back to it recently. Recently, like the last week I've been listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I really like this one. It's like a nice slower jam. It builds too at the end.
Yeah.
And that's, I really like that. The guitars are nice and slow, which is cool. They almost have like a little slide effect to them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's a reverb-y thing.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I get chills every time the song picks up for the last chorus, because you can kind of, like, it's not super aggressive, but like his voice kind of gets a little growly in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joey's vocals in the beginning are amazing. I'm a sucker for some good falsettos. I give it an 8.
Can you give us a falsetto?
No, not right now.
You're like, I give it an 8.
Give it an 8.
Ooh.
Oh, I could do it.
Mm-hmm. He does a... Roper does a great cover of I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That was... And that's all falsetto.
I can get the whole bar clapped.
I believe in a thing called love.
Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. It's funny. I don't know. It is kind of funny, but my friend Travis... He likes to change the words to songs, so he'll just make himself laugh. And so one time, he's like, hey, you should go up there and instead of just listen to the rhythm of my heart, just sing, just stick your finger in my butt.
So stupid.
It's so stupid. But he was like, he and I knew that I was going to do it, so I could just see him in the back of the bar dying, and nobody else could hear it. It's a great story.
Just put your finger in my butt.
Just stick your finger in my butt. Told you it's funny.
I said, finally, a break for my ears. This was a great spot for this song on the record. I feel like I was getting kind of exhausted.
Yeah.
Listening to some of those things. And I enjoyed the simple guitars. That really added quite the vibe.
Yeah.
Quite the vibe. This is a solid track 2. Unfortunately, another 7.
7.
Another 7 for you. But that leads into a very interesting song, and that would be Raining in Toronto.
Is this the one that we're going to argue about?
I think it is, yep.
Oh, okay. Throwback to some of their earlier albums. Another one.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely hear their heavier influence. I love the piano part. The piano intro. Excuse me. It's late.
Yeah, it's 3 p.m.
It's 8 a.m.
Roper's past his bedtime.
It's 8 a.m. and I'm not sober. I'm just kidding. I'm sober as a bird. I like this song. It had to grow on me.
Mm-hmm.
At first I was like, this is kind of lame. It sounds the same. But then there's so many parts. I mean, there's so many moving parts in this song. Like the chorus at first, or like, I love the chorus. It's catchy. But then there's a part in the bridge where he just like, I don't know, the flow of the song, he changes it. I'm just rambling. The flow of this second verse gets me hyped every time because it's changed from the first one, the first verse, if that makes sense. Jonathan Vigil feature is kind of a perfect fit. Like I said earlier, I don't really like when they add the backup vocalist, which is not very fair to the backup vocalist for me saying that. But if I were to listen to this band, I would probably put an unclean vocalist in it too.
Yeah.
Just because it would add a cool dynamic. So it was kind of cool to hear him in it. I give it a 8.5.
Can't decide on an 8 or a 9 in between.
Actually, I probably should just give it a regular 8.
Regular 8? Okay, yeah. Okay. So
I want to hear your opinion.
This one was so fucking weird for me.
Yeah.
The verse guitars remind me of like Pierce the Veil. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, maybe is that what I'm thinking about?
I can hear it.
Sounded kind of Pierce the Veil-y to me. I thought the piano was interesting in the beginning, but like the abrupt change wasn't for me. Like I hated it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is bad. Don't do that again. But it kind of makes more sense as the song goes on.
Yeah.
Like, so I'll give him some credit there, but I like the rhythm schemes in the chorus. Not sure how I feel about the bridge. I'm not against that type of vocals, but I just don't feel like it really fit. And I was just like, it was a feature to have a feature moment. Like, it was like, oh, cool. I mean, we got to have another feature on it. I think there's like 3 features on this record. And like, it's the ghost inside, right? That this guy is from.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I like those vocals when, like, it feels appropriate, but for whatever reason, it just did not in this song. I don't think him and his and Joey's vocals go well together at all.
Oh. Well, you're wrong.
Yeah, that's fine. I figured. Diehard fans are going to, like, eat me alive for this, but I like the interlude with the guitars and, like, and the piano near the end and how it, like, veered off to just piano. I think that was really unique. I think that was probably my favorite part of the song. So that's what I meant, but, like, in the beginning, the piano just, like, stops. Like, I now understood why it was, like, in there in the beginning, but, like, I still hate the way it, like, just, like, went away. It was like, ah, no, what are you doing? But it, I don't know. This track's, like, all over the place for me, which may be, like, a selling point for some, but I wasn't a huge fan. So I got to give it a 6 out of 10. However, I will admit, I feel like this song could grow on me.
Yeah.
If I were to, like, keep listening to it.
Like, when it came out as a single, I was kind of like,
yeah.
And then as the album came out, I listened to it a lot more, obviously. And I was like, okay, it's not so bad. And then it kind of grew on me. So.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not my favorite on this album, but I still like it enough.
I just feel like it was such a weird song.
A lot of these songs feel like they're just kind of not slapped together lazily. It's just there's a lot of moving parts in them.
Yeah.
And this is definitely the prime example of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Not me.
So, but yeah, I think that would be the most controversial thing on here. I think there's another track I shit on, but that's fine. I know. Next song, Ghost. You are my holy ghost.
This one's a skip for me. I don't like it.
I was like, I felt like so good about myself because I actually wrote stuff and you just wrote honestly a skip.
Well,
because
I hear the opening chorus or the opening verse and I'm like, I'm not even going to give this one a chance.
Oh, really? That one?
Hey, queen.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. Now, here we go. I said the clean guitars are nice to hear after like all the heaviness of like most of the tracks. So again, it's like they tried adding some different stuff here. I feel like the lyrics weren't all that great, or at least they weren't for me. I like, honestly, I think I was being nice when I said that. I think like you were like making fun of them. As soon as I heard Queen 2, I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that Neck Deep song, She's a God. I know everyone likes that song, but
in
I think it's
underwear.
It's so bad. That is a badly written song.
Yeah.
It's bad. Like it sounds fine, but the lyric content is bad. So, but that's just my opinion. Please hate on me.
I agree with you, but I do listen to that song and I'm like, okay, it's fine.
Like, I think vocally is like I like the vocal.
Yeah,
like,
everything except for the actual lyrics.
Yeah, if you change the lyrics to something else, like, I don't know.
Touch my bod. There you go.
Yeah. There was some unique vocal harmonies that I thought were kind of cool, though. I like that. I think the woos at the very end were very annoying. I hated those. I was like, no, stop doing that. I originally gave it a 6 out of 10, but now that I think about it again, I want to give it a 5.
Okay.
So
I didn't even rate it.
I know. That's like a 0 out of 10.
Yeah.
But next song, Roper, it's caving in.
Guitar intro in the beginning is like you're kind of thrown off by it because you're not ready for like a metal intro like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially after like the previous song.
Yeah.
It's like a 180.
They're like, ah, we got soft for a second. Let's get a little.
Yeah, let's get. I need to like find a way to say that in not a sexual way like you just did.
Oh, man. Side story. So I work for an electrical company, and our QC department has to take pictures of everything to make sure that it is show our customers that they are connected. And we have this older man. I'm not going to say his name, but he's goofy. And I don't think he means to be goofy. He's just
is he goofy?
He's just one of those people that complains about everything and takes his job like a little too serious.
That reminds me of a certain someone, but
me?
No, not you.
No. But he was taking pictures the other day, and like, it almost sounded seductive. It was funny. He's like, oh, let me just move that a minute so I can get a nice picture of that.
Ooh.
And then he was like describing his lunch to me.
Wait, what was his lunch?
He's like, you know, Dave, I really like those Taco John's potato Olays.
Those are good. I'll get sexual over those.
But he's like, man, they really just don't agree with me. And I'm like, oh, yeah? And he's like, I just get some terrible heartburn. I'm like, maybe you shouldn't eat them anymore. He's older too, so like, I don't know. He's one of those guys that like means well and he's nice, but I've had so many experiences with him where he just fucking pisses me off.
Dude, I don't like that he called you Dave.
Yeah, well,
I don't think I've ever heard anyone refer to you as Dave.
Everybody at work does, just because I'm not gonna. Like my supervisor just found out that like people outside of work call me Roper.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not going to call you that just in case there's a negative connotation. Because there's this guy that works there who's known me since I was like 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so he calls me Roper, but he was like referring to me around all those, like all the higher ups. And so he's like, hey, come over here, Roper. And then, yeah, this is a pointless story. But yeah, they either call me Dave or David at work.
Yeah, like sometimes I heard Brian call you David and I was like, no, that's not right. It's Roper.
Yeah.
It's always Roper. Anyway, you still got more stuff to say.
I haven't even started yet.
I thought you started.
I was too busy telling you about the guy who was taking seductive pictures of cables.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, just let me move that. I'm going to get a nice picture of that.
Okay, you don't have to continue. It's fine.
What? You don't like this?
No, it's bad.
But I like that.
I'm sure you do. All right, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I did start on this one. It's another early call or a callback to early In Her Own Words. They were like borderline. They had some kind of hardcore elements early on.
I heard someone call them easycore.
I can't really hear
that. I heard like someone like guitars on that.
I would say post-hardcore, if anything.
No, not post-hardcore.
What's post-hardcore to you?
Bad.
Describe bad.
Like it's spacey hardcore music.
Okay, well, that's how it sounded.
Bad.
Nice blend of their heavy, aggressive roots in the pop elements of the last album for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little guitar solo in the bridge. I was not expecting that. Guitars really stand out in this track for me overall, I guess. I'll give it a 7.
I don't like how you said that.
Seven.
I said the intro guitars are really cool. Whoever produced the record got some amazing tones.
Oh yeah.
Like I think whoever produced the record did a really good job. I really like the pop sound element to it all, especially like at the beginning of the choruses.
Yeah.
So I think that was really cool. I think the guitarist got to have like a lot of great parts on this song.
Yeah, dude.
The guitarist like super good overall.
Oh yeah.
I'd actually like side note, but I'd actually really like to just kind of see them if they were to like take a pop route. Like Amorosa, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really interesting.
Right?
I could, honestly, with Joey's vocals, I can kind of see them
doing
that. Because Broadside, they tried that a little bit, but and then they ended up going back to a heavier album.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of, like, that would be, like, the second album, right?
Paradise?
Yeah, yeah, I don't like that one.
I like Into the Raging Sea a little bit more than Paradise.
I think it's just kind of dark for me, surprisingly. I think Broadside's first record is probably the best example. Oh.
Yeah, I like the first record.
Old Bones, right?
Yeah, it's really cool to see like how they progress though, because they put out like a really fucking poppy album, and then they put out a heavy like dark themed album,
mm-hmm.
which is cool.
Yeah, there were a few songs I really liked off it.
I think that album's pretty underrated.
Yeah, I do too, actually. I do think it deserved more attention. I do think they kind of didn't expect it to have as much attention as it did, though. Because I remember, like, having them, like, talk, like, or, like, maybe seeing some Instagram posts or something like that. Regardless, I think for the most part, this record kind of blends in with the rest of the tracks. Like,
yeah.
So, like most of the other songs, solid seven.
Seven.
Solid seven.
All right.
Which leads us to our last track, Roper. Footprints.
I know I made it hard for you to let go, 'cause we got so tangled up. And if you make it back to where we were with someone new, just don't forget to smile and think back. Like a smile and think back on those days. I promise not to cover up those footprints that we made. I heard you're doing better now. I heard you're doing better now.
Kind of didn't give this one a chance at first because it was like because of the other acoustic song that they had or the other slower jam.
Yeah.
But now and sad how I like it. What the fuck did I write? Now that I have listened to it, I think I like it. It honestly could be a country song if you hear it.
Yeah, especially with her vocals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where she's from. She's just like a smaller artist.
Maybe. But
It's cool to hear her voice on there. I think her voice blends well with Joey's.
Mm-hmm.
Nice acoustic jam. That's about all I have to say about that. It's about a 6.5 for me.
No, soul 6.5.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, but I can't really pull much out of this song other than the vocals. I think the song could have benefited a lot from like strings in the background to kind of like help build the track, flesh it out a bit. Sierra Annie was a good addition to this song, though.
Yeah.
I think that her vocals probably fit best out of the three features. I think the song overstays its welcome, though, and it kind of ends on a wet fart.
Yeah, dude.
So I gave it a 6 out of 10.
For me, dog.
I think I was just happy that I was done.
Yeah, that's kind of how I got towards the end of this album.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. So, all right, Roper, final thoughts, go.
Final thoughts. I really think they wrote themselves into a corner with Steady Glow just because that album is so phenomenal. A lot of the same for this album.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the songs sound similar. Joey's vocals always continue to amaze me. Instrumentally, these guys are fucking solid too. It's kind of hard to have an amazing vocalist and solid musicians sometimes because it's really hard for the instruments to stand out when the dude's fucking phenomenal or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know,
I
feel they focus too hard on trying to make catchy hooks and lines instead of like fleshing out the songs. Certain songs feel like they're like kind of slapped together, which didn't really blend well together. Still an easy yet fun listen.
What do you mean slapped together?
There's certain songs that I feel like they took just parts from other songs that they had written or maybe practiced and then just like mashed them together.
Hmm.
I can't remember which song I was listening to when I thought of that, but I think definitely Caving In. I think Caving In felt that way to me, and Raining in Toronto kind of feels that way too.
Yeah, especially now. I could definitely see that.
Yeah. Do I have anything else? Oh, still an easy and really fun listen. I give this album overall a 7.
Seven.
Let's hear you rip this to shreds.
I think I would have had a better experience listening to these songs individually rather than back to back on a full playthrough, which we kind of like made with like playlist stuff.
Yeah,
like I think that was a really good example of that. I think you can get most of what the album is pushing out within the first few songs, and there wasn't like much experimentation that kept my interest. Like, yeah, I'm gonna bring that up later. production wise, it sounds phenomenal. Yeah. And vocals is where the record stands out most to me personally. But nothing stayed with me much lyrically. I also didn't like dive in the lyrics either, so I'm sure maybe I could have like done a little better job with that. But like nothing, like there wasn't like a lyrical hook that I was like, oh, I'm gonna remember that.
Yeah. I mean they put their favorite lyrics on like of the whole album when they were talking about One Thing You Should Know. Mm-hmm. And those ones were kind of lackluster to me anyway.
Right. So like, I was like, they're good, but like,
it's not.
It seems like a.
I feel like they have better lyrics.
Yeah. So as much as it sounds like I'm shitting on this record, which I don't want to, yeah. But I think it's a solid good time. So it's a 7 out of 10 for me too.
Yeah.
I will say this, as much as I don't know if it's the mixer or the producer on this record, like that made it sound the way it did. Regardless, I think they should like branch out to someone different.
Me too.
And someone who's like also really good at songwriting to like actually plan out each individual song for a record, like where it stands within that record and why they chose that song. Because I mean, a lot of bands come into like a studio with like 30 songs and yeah. then like 20 of them are cut or more, you know? Yeah.
But if this was their best of their 30, then maybe they're just like kind of burnt out.
I don't know. Like, it's hard to say. I really think they should go in like a pop inspired, like We Were Sharks, like had, some really good examples of that where they got a lot more poppier on the newest record, and I think it really worked well for them.
Yeah.
There was also some like a little bit more heavier stuff, but like it was more high endy, and I think this was more like mid to low rangey.
Yeah. This one felt a lot darker than Steady Glow did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? So, but yeah, I don't know. That'd be my advice. Just, you know, not that they're asking.
No.
But you know, branch out, talk to people that you know, maybe you wouldn't necessarily think, and maybe release an EP that's more pop inspired and like see how the reception is to that.
Yeah.
That'd be like my idea of what they should do. But anyway, yeah. I had fun listening to it though.
Yeah. Do you think our listeners who haven't listened to this should check it out? You think it's worth a listen?
I think they should go to Steady Glow.
Yeah.
Go to Steady Glow to get like the best of the band, and if you really enjoyed that, then there are surely songs on other records by them that you will enjoy as well.
Yeah, definitely go to Steady Glow, then Unfamiliar, and then maybe Everyone I Used to Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And this one,
I think this has some great songs.
I would say check out all their full length check out all of their albums and see what you like for yourself. But I'm gonna tell you, if you're a more so like pop punk fan, traditional pop punk fan, Steady Glow is the album to listen to.
Yeah, I think Steady Glow just...
If you like heavier ones, Unfamiliars, the perfect blend of pop punk and heavier music.
Mm-hmm. It's such a weird... It's like such a debacle to where like...
A what?
I think a debacle.
What's a debacle? Like, debacle?
No, maybe, I don't know.
Debacle?
It reminds me of that like... It's like a scene in Blades of Glory where they're like... It's like the thing is it's mind-boggling.
Yeah,
but, like,
debacle?
Calm down. No. It's another thing. So there's like, the guy's like, it's mind boggling is the actual word. But in the movie, they say mind bottling.
Yeah.
And then so I'm not joking, for like probably upwards of 10 years, I always said mind bottling.
I'm not surprised.
And listen, it's sad that I learned something and it was wrong by Will Ferrell and the dude who played fucking Napoleon Dynamite.
John Peter?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
I always forget his name. But yeah, Steady Glow would be my preferred record. I think that's what we were originally going to talk about, wasn't it?
No, we were going to talk about Unfamiliar, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Either way, I would have enjoyed myself.
Yeah, when we wanted to do the album reviews, I think our idea was to do underrated album reviews.
Yeah,
or and then
whatever's like, I mean, like we care about views, and like obviously when we release the Avril Lavigne and every MGK thing we've ever released has skyrocketed our views, but like we don't want to
rest
chase their coattails.
Yeah, because we don't enjoy listening to that.
No, I mean,
we enjoy like shitting on it, but
yeah, I there's
Boys
a few songs.
Lie. That
Girls
song,
lie too.
That song popped, like I saw the title for it, and then I just instantly heard that part in my head.
Such a solid track.
Call back to last season.
Yeah, Avril, get a new producer. Anyway.
Boys lie.
Listener responses, Roper.
Yeah. Our friend Sierra from Seattle, I can never pronounce her Instagram name.
Neither.
Okay, Scion Ann. I think that's what it is.
We should message her and be like, how do you pronounce your username?
I don't know.
We kept messing up on the show.
She said her favorite In Her Own Words song is Serotonin. Song fucking rules.
Beautiful, beautiful. More pop punk than pizza, which is as great as our name. Love it. Probably Steady Glow or Right Now.
Both solid bops.
Mm-hmm.
Not Kevin Deeney, 12, said, everyone I used to trust, all.
And then All System Go New Jersey said, Steady Glow.
All right.
And that's
E Laney.
Oh, no, there's more.
Yeah. There's, I was like, what are you doing? E Laney D says, Right Now and Rosé by the Ocean are tied, but 2022 album D&D would have to be One Thing You Should Know.
I think Rosé by the Ocean is my favorite song by them.
Such a bop, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And
then Carson Farrell said, probably Lights Out song slaps.
Yeah, dude.
Slaps, baby.
I think my favorite song by them is Disaster Case or Serotonin.
Yeah. I need to listen to them more in depth.
They also have, they also put out a bonus track for Unfamiliar called Smoke Signals that nobody talks about. And that song is fucking awesome.
Hmm.
You guys should listen to that song.
Maybe he'll add it onto our pop punk picks.
I think I will.
All right, should we jump into the up and coming band of the week?
Yeah, we should.
Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, Roper and I would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social media. Now, Roper, this week we have Neptune Rain with their song Rise. Gonna say it, Neptune Rain, very cool name.
Yeah, dude.
So what's up with Neptune Rain? Well, I'll tell you. Hailing from, fuck me, Gloucestershire?
Gloucestershire.
Gloucestershire, United Kingdom. And having launched to the online world during the first lockdown of 2020, Neptune Rain have gone on to rack up plays on radio stations such as Total Rock and BBC. Say it again.
Gloucestershire.
Have been invited to perform online at BBC Airways Festival and have been included on playlists such as Amazon Music, UK's Best New Bands, as Kieran, Ollie, Simon, and Rob and Joe commence bringing the verve and dynamicism I can't read to the live arena. The time is right to hop on board the Neptune train and join them to ride to the stars, Roper, to the stars.
To them stars of Neptune.
So what's the story behind the song? I hear Roper whispering over there.
I'm not whispering, I'm laughing.
Frontman Kieran explains that Rise is essentially a pep talk to myself after a couple of really difficult years, both personally and for the world as a whole. And in it, I am trying to receive a sense of self-worth, eradicate any lingering doubts I have, and double down on the belief I have always held that life is too short to not pursue one's dreams. I think and certainly hope that this concept is one which many of us can relate to. Roper, stop laughing, because you have a job. You have a job right now.
Kick it!
Feed on the hate till you're comatose. Wake up and choke on the proverbial throne.
Roper.
I could definitely see how this was on the radio.
Yeah, this gives me some radio vibe. Yeah. Give me some Three Days Grace guitar riffs in there, I felt.
I can hear this on Laser 103.3 and be like, okay, this is a good song to drive home to. No, it was a very good, nice, well-produced song.
Yeah, it was very well-produced. I really liked it. I think that they're... I think that, I don't know, what genre would you put this under? Like, more like alt-rock, right?
Yeah.
I think more like alt-rock. I think they would like be great openers for like Beartooth or something.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Whenever I look at that or look at their picture, I just think of the color purple.
Yeah, because it's very purple?
Yeah.
I wonder if a colorblind person, but like someone who like had perception of color before they went colorblind. Is that a thing?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No, you're always colorblind.
Well. Intriguing. But anyway, Neptune Rain, one of the coolest band names.
Neptune Rain.
Has only 2,500 monthly listeners, which is a fair amount better than most of our listeners, yeah. Or most of our up-and-coming bands. But however, I think these guys are probably going to go somewhere.
We have more.
So if you want to jump on that bandwagon.
Jump on it now, and hopefully they remember us.
Mm-hmm. They remember us when they're really big.
On that wagon. As a reminder, you can find our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Our username is PPES Podcast everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's Instagram.
Instagram.
That's Facebook.
Ooh.
Twitter.
Water.
And more.
More.
Please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help our show. What, Hunter?
Grow! That's going to peak.
Oh, man. Every single song you heard on today's episode will be on a Spotify playlist. You can also find a playlist of our up-and-coming bands from each season, as well as our pop punk emo supremo picks that I curate weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to check out our new monthly show, Pop Punk Emo Supremo News, for all your monthly new releases, tour announcements, and more.
We'll find more stuff to put on there.
We will.
So we do this every episode, because we want to remind you guys that we're trying to grow this show.
We're trying to grow.
So please give us a 5-star rating. If you like our show, please go ahead and, we really like to advance our, curated playlist and make it into something pretty big one day.
Yeah.
So, Roper picks some pretty excellent picks that I often don't even know. So, it's a great listen. I promise you.
A lot of secret for you guys, or for the listeners, mm-hmm. A lot of these picks come from you guys.
Ooh, see? You guys are a part of this.
See, I got the eye, or...
Of the tiger.
The tiger, yeah. Rising up!
All right, Roper, what's your hot take, baby?
Oh, dude. Man. I'm trying to think of...
You need to come prepared, mister.
No. Yes. These have to be off the cuff.
No, that's not how this works.
I don't... like planning shit, and you know this.
Yeah, if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't have a show right now.
No, because I plan everything else out in my life. You know what? Here's a hot take.
Here we go.
Nah, I'm not going to say that I hate planning, because that's fucking lazy.
It's lazy.
Football season's coming up. You know what's...
Oh my god, I'm already bored.
I am tired of... Here's a hot take. I was just thinking about this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should be an age for every adult to just completely forget about their accomplishments in high school.
Oh, yeah. It's called 19.
Yes. Thank you.